Turn over to 2 Samuel. We're picking up where we left off at 2 Samuel chapter number 2. Amen. And once you get there, we'll run down to verse number 12, and we'll see what the master has for supper tonight. Hallelujah. That's 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12. Amen. And once you get there, let's all stand. And then we'll read, we'll pray, and then we'll ask God for his help tonight. Amen. Do me a favor, Joel, would you give me an aspirin real quick? Thanks, sweetie. All right, look at 2 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse number 12. Now, the Bible says this, and Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, and one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, let the young men now rise and play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. Then they arose and went over by a number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and the 12 of the servants of David. The Bible goes on to say, and they caught everyone his fellow by the hand and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down, the Bible says, together. Wherefore, that place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day. And Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of Saul. We want to talk tonight on this little thought, the fight at the pool. The fight at the pool. Father, I pray tonight for your divine help. I pray, God, for your guidance and direction. And I pray, ask God, that we will glean some things that will help us in our everyday life as we walk upon the face of this earth. I pray, God, that we would learn some things that have taken place in the midst of this story. And then, Lord, apply them to our walk. And with that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, you'll bless every soul that's met here tonight. I pray, God, that you'd feed us from the precious word of God. I pray, God, to stir us on the inside. I pray, God, to change what needs to be changed. I pray, God, to do what needs to be done in each of us. And for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, we leave encouraged and not discouraged. And for that, God, we'll praise you. Help somebody because somebody needs your help. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Forgive us for our sins and all of our shortcomings. And for that, God, we'll praise you too. We love you. Because you first loved us. For us in your son's name, we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The fight at the pool. A lot of times we have fights at strange places. Amen. And we have a strange thing that takes place here at the pool. And it's amazing, if you think about it, how some fights get started. Some are intentional and some are not intentional. But yet these fights occur. As I was thinking about the message, I thought about my cousin Melvin. He's passed on to be with the Lord. He passed away several months ago. But I remember when we were growing up, he came to spend the summer at my house. And while we were there, we were playing swords, but we didn't have any swords to play swords. Amen. So we had, do y'all remember the I think it's called the croquet set? We take that and you hit the little ball and all that. And we was using that as a sword. And so I never forget, man, we started from the second floor of our house, and we moved down the stairs to the first floor, and we fought all the way down to the basement. And man, we was going at it. But all of a sudden, somebody hit somebody on the fingers. I don't know who was near him. And next thing you know, man, we were playing swords for real. I mean, we were going at one another, and my mom said, hey, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Oh, we were playing swords. But man, we were hot. We was trying to hurt one another. We started off playing, but then progressed, amen, to a place where we was actually trying to hurt one another. Many a time, especially with boys, they'll get to wrestling and tussling, and then next thing you know, somebody's trying to whoop the other person for real, amen. Well, here we have a situation. Whip some folks who are relatives. Now, don't y'all forget, these folks are relatives. And here they are in a situation that escalates and an excavation to a place where some folks got hurt for real. Amen. The first thing we see, my friends, in this story is the participants. The Bible shows us in verse 12, and Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. Now, that's an area that belonged to the Benjamites. Now, if you remember, Abner is a relative of the former king, who is Saul. Remember, King Saul has been slain in battle. Jonathan, his son, has been slain in battle, as well as two other sons. But there's one son left, if you remember, whose name is Ishbosheth, and Abner decides to make him king, even though he knows that David is supposed to be the king. Now, David is anointed the king over Judah. But now Ishbosheth is anointed king over the other 11 tribes. So here you have these men. They come and get together, the Bible says, at the pool. We also see another group of participants. We see Joab, the son of Zeruiah, which is David's sister. This is one of her boys. She has two other boys that are also there fighting along with David, their uncle. So here you have somebody from Saul's lineage. Here you have somebody from David's lineage. But don't forget now, they all are part of the 12 tribes of Israel. But yet, my dear friends, they're about to have an encounter that will escalate. Now, if you remember, since Saul has died, there has not been a battle between David and the other tribes. Only folks have been anointed to be king in the different groups. So we see, my dear friends, it says, and Joab was there, and they went out to meet together by the pool of Gibeon. So we move from the participants to the pool of Gibeon. As I said, Gibeon was a place that was controlled, so to speak, by the Benjamites, who were on the other side with the other tribes of Israel. Remember, Benjamin was also the tribe that King Saul was from. Okay? So here you have these folks, and they meet together at the pool. Now, and the Bible says in verse 13, and they sat down, one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. Now, normally, when you go to a pool, it's a time of fun. It's a time of happiness, a time of just playing and having a good time, right? Well, here they are, one's on one side, and the other's on the other side. Now, you know they don't like each other. Because, my friends, here you have David being anointed king over Judah, and then you have Ishbosheth being anointed king over the other tribes. But now neither of them are there. But here we are at the pool. While they're sitting at the pool, the Bible says this, there is a proposal that is made. Verse 14, and Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. Sounds good to me. Now, the word play here in this verse means to make sport, to laugh, or even to mock. Now, some people say that they were coming together to battle. But if you look up this particular word, every time that it is used in the Old Testament, it's always talking about either mockery or laughter or some type of even joy with instruments, sometimes in a positive sense and sometimes in a negative sense. If you remember when Samson was chained up and they had bound him, they were there to make sport of him. This is the same word. They want to mock him and things of that nature. But it doesn't necessarily mean fight. But now, a lot of times, we can start off playing, and they can escalate into a fight. I mean, don't raise your hand, but I remember growing up, we would play what we call the dozens. You know, your mama, your mama. Then next thing you know, we swinging fists. Amen. We start off playing. Or we talk about somebody's, what we might call their, what word I'm looking for, what word I want to, for lack of a better word comes to my mind, their area of deficiency or something, you know. If somebody is, whether it be their height or whatever the case might be, and we'll be attacking each other like this, and we'll be laughing at first. But then next thing you know, we're going to have a real fight. Start out playing games. And sometimes, my dear friends, we need to know when to stop playing and when to play. Amen? And here we have a situation, my dear friends, where here they are, and they decide that we're going to have this proposal. We're going to decide, let's have these young guys to play for. We want these young guys to rise and play. And Joab said, it sounds good to me. Now, we move then to the picking of the men. So anytime you're going to have a contest, you know you're going to have to pick some guys, you know. You know, and now some folks say, well, this is similar to that with David and Goliath, whoever wins is going to take over and all that kind of stuff. But the scriptures don't say that. Let's just go with what the scriptures say. The scripture says, my dear friends, they were going to make sport. They were going to play. And now it's time to choose your best against my best. And look what the Bible says. We see the picking of the men. The Bible says in verse number 15. Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David, which means 12 of those who were from Judah. I was like, this is interesting. Why did they choose 12 from the Benjamites? I understood Judah because that's the only family that was there. Amen. But why the Benjamites? Well, number one, remember, Gibeon was controlled by the Benjamites. But then I thought to myself, ain't that the group that those guys had a lot of left-handed people that was good with throwing the sling? And man, when they threw something, man, they didn't miss. They were what you call sharpshooters. I said, maybe there's a subplot here. I don't know. But they choose these men of Benjamin against those of Judah, and these 12 are about to fight. Well, not fight, they're supposed to be playing. We play fighting, mama. We play fighting, okay? But now watch what happens. We move from the picking of the men to the playing escalates. The Bible says in verse 16, and they caught everyone, his fellow, by the head. That sounds like trouble already. And watch this. And thrust his sword in his fellow's side, so they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazarim, which is in Gibeon. In other words, all 24 guys died. 12 on one side and 12 on the other. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden we went from playing to now, my friends, folks are dying. And all 24, 12 on each side, all of those guys died right there. So guess what? That means you have a what? Tie. Neither side won. But notice what's happened, my friends. When you look at this, how do we go from playing to dying? And a lot of times in our families, we'll be playing, but they don't escalate. So all of a sudden, we've not killed anybody physically, but my friends, we have killed each other with our words. We've killed each other with our actions. But all of a sudden, my dear friends, now it becomes a real big thing. Because now, my friends, we see something happens. Now we go from the plane escalates to now we see, my friends, the progression of a fight. Now it's an all-out war. Look at verse 17. And there was a very sore battle. That means cruel. It was fierce. It was stubborn that day. That means all of a sudden everybody was there. They all broke out into a fight. I've seen that happen in some strange places. Amen. when you're a pastor, you know, you've been in different places. You see strange things happen between family. Amen. And I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mr. Ned, I'm talking about stuff be happening. And you're like, whoa, y'all family now. But all of a sudden, like a bomb, somebody dropped down. And then everybody just going at one another. I've seen it. I mean, literally. You know, fists flying. And I'm trying to stop stuff from, and folks are trying to hook. And I mean, it's bad. Amen. But you know what, my dear friends? It don't have to escalate when we realize, for us here today, if we realize, wait a minute, so-and-so might be getting upset. And still saying, yeah, I'm winning this battle. No, stop. Don't go farther, amen? Just stop, okay? Because all of a sudden, my dear friends, it'll go from just cousins fighting one another. Now you got mamas them in it. And they mamas them in it. Yeah, I said mamas them. Amen. I mean, they're all in it, man. And this thing is getting bad. It's getting big. And it's getting ugly and nasty. And here you have, now don't forget now, all of these are the offspring of Abraham. From Abraham down through Isaac, down through Jacob. The children of Israel are we talking about Jacob? That, in other words, it's the children of Jacob. It's his family. And here they are fighting, and now they're actually killing one another. The Bible says in verse number 17, and there was a very sore battle. It was cruel. It was fierce. It was a stubborn battle that day. And the Bible says, watch this. And Abner was beaten. And the men of Israel before the servants of David. Israel was represented, the other 11 tribes were whipped by Judah, David's tribe. And when you find out and you drop down, my friends, to verse number 30, the Bible says this in verse number 31, but the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 360 men died. 360 versus David's 19. Look at verse 30. Their lack of David's servants, 19 men, and Asael, which is his nephew. He was also killed. We'll talk about him later. But David only lost a total of 1920 people. But they lost 360 people from Israel who died during that battle. Number one, it was a battle that didn't have to take place. That's why I wonder if Abner had an ulterior motive in meeting there with Joab. Because you got to realize he has taken Ishbosheth and placed him as king over Israel when it's supposed to be David. And he knows it's supposed to be David. And then, my friends, now you got these guys down there by the pool telling, let's play. We're going to play fight. Come on. When you got folks who are hostile already toward each other, come on. Something about to happen. Me and Brett, we grew up around the same in the same neighborhood, the same block, and we used to live at over on the west side, over on Laurel. There was a group that was called Haddon Street. You know Haddon. We ain't like Haddon. We call them Haddon Boys. Now, when I was growing up, we called our street Sesame Street. Then they called y'all changed to something else now. But we would play football against Haddon, and we played football against Haddon. We was expecting to hurt some people. We want blood. You know, we playing football. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Laddie? I mean, we're playing football, and, you know, but we down there, and it's like, man, we about to tear each other's head off. That's the only time that we would actually interact in a plain way. Because when we weren't playing football, we did not walk down Haddon Street. And the guys from Haddon didn't walk down Laurel Avenue. Huh? They didn't walk up because you get jumped. Amen. We didn't like each other. But then we're going to play football against each other. Oh, man, we're trying to tear each other's head off. And Abner said, let's play. I think Abner thought they was going to whip David and his guys. But instead, the Bible says here, my dear friends, that Abner was beaten. That reminds me of this verse over in Proverbs 25 and verse number 8. Look at Proverbs 25 and look at verse number 8. You got to be careful when you're going out trying to start stuff. You ever met somebody that's like, I'm going to start a fight with him. And they think they're going to whoop them. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 25 and verse number 8. Proverbs 25 and verse number 8. The Bible says this in Proverbs 25 and verse number 8. The Bible says, go not forth hastily to strive. That word hastily means to hurry, to be in a hurry, to strive. That means to contend, to quarrel, to hold on to controversy. Lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor have put thee to what? Shame. That word shame here means to humiliate or hurt you. Sometimes folk in a hurry to fight people who they might not like, thinking they're going to win. And then in turn, they the one who get hurt in the end. So you know what we shouldn't be doing? We shouldn't be going around trying to start fights in the first place. This was my motto growing up as a kid. I'm serious. It may sound odd, but I always felt like this. If I ever got in a fight, as long as I didn't start the fight, I always believed that I was going to win the fight. I always believed that. I believed that God was going to be with me and I was going to win the fight. As long as I didn't start the fight, I always believed that. You know, and I'm undefeated. But I'm just saying, as long as I don't start it. And I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends, it pays not to start fights. Amen. Don't start fights because, my friends, you might wind up losing, and the next thing you know, now you're on the run. But, my friends, it's one thing when you start a fight when you are and versus when you are defending yourself. That's two different things. A lot of times people go out to start stuff, and it gets ugly. The next thing you know, they get to losing, and then they cry an uncle. Amen. We're going to see some things take place later on as this battle escalates down the road. But tonight, I want to focus on that part. Here we are, and this thing escalated from playing at the pool to folks dying on the battlefield. Things that could have been avoided, especially if Abner would have recognized David as king. It's like on your job. If somebody gets a promotion, my dear friends, they'll say, well, I need to have that promotion. Well, listen, if God wants you to have the promotion, can't nobody stop you from getting it unless you stop yourself by doing the wrong things. Because God knows how to elevate you, friend. He'll promote you. Just do what you're supposed to do. Instead of trying to maneuver and swindle, just do your job. Let me ask you three questions tonight. The first question is this. Have we been in a fight that started playfully, but it's escalated? Have we been in a fight that started playfully, but it's now escalated? In other words, because sometimes friendships break out like that. Y'all was playing at first, and next thing you know, somebody gets hurt. The second question is this. Do you want to stop fighting before things get worse? Do you want to stop fighting before things get worse? Because, my friends, if we keep fighting and fighting, that thing continues to escalate and escalate, because it went from 24 people dying to 360 plus David's 19, count the other one, 20, to what, 380 people dying. It escalated. Sometimes if we will just go ahead and stop it now, it won't get bigger and bigger, and there won't be that many more casualties in the midst of that battle. And the last is a statement. Let's ask God for wisdom to know what to do. Let's ask God for wisdom to know what to do. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. It was a short message, but I pray, God, that we would take this message. And I pray, God, we'd apply it. I pray, God, that you challenge us in certain areas. Perhaps it had nothing, nobody's going through anything in this message you're talking about. But, Lord, at least we'll know how to avoid some stuff maybe down the road. So God, give us wisdom there. Perhaps God, maybe some folks are coming tonight. So Lord, help me to avoid those type of entrapments. So I don't want to get involved in that which become bigger and bigger and uglier and uglier. So maybe we're going to pray, God, to ask you for help in that area. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Perhaps God, there are folks who do have family and friends that they may have even fallen out with. They might not have talked to them for years. And the list goes on from there. But perhaps God, tonight, you know what? I have to pray and ask God to show me how I can be reconciled with that loved one, or with that family member, or with that friend. And for that, Father, we'll thank you too. And then perhaps, God, that folks need to come for other reasons, have nothing to do with this message, not one thing. But they will come talk to you about something else that's on their hearts, on their minds. I pray, God, they come. And then, God, perhaps there's some folks who want to intercede for people they love and care for who are in a battle right now, and they want to pray for them. I pray, God, they will come. But God, whatever the needs are, I pray, God, we respond. There's one here that's not sure of their salvation. I pray, God, they come forward, let me know, or someone else they have confidence in, and we will show them from the Word of God how to get it settled. And we'll thank you. All right, Father, we love you. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps you need to come tonight, talk to the Lord about whatever. Maybe have nothing to do with the message, but you want to come talk to him for a few moments. I want to come and talk to him because he's sure.